absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode 21 of our award-winning podcast, Absolutely Intercultural.
It is our pleasure to tell you that we have won another prize. Only 4 weeks ago, we thanked you for coming in third in the best of blogs. And now we're in the headlines again. Believe it or not, we are number one in the EduBlog Award in the category Best Audio Blog. This is absolutely amazing. And we'd like to thank each and every one of you for your votes and for your support. And of course, for all the comments and emails we got. We will get back to you in January. In the meantime, you can go to our blog at www.absolutelyintercultural.com and catch up on all the good news and congratulations. And our Frapper Map competition has come to an end too. And the winner is Zanele Khumalo from Cape Town in South Africa. Congratulations, Zanele, and thank you very much for putting pin number 100 on our Frapper Map. We will contact you soon and see how we can make you the guest host of one of our next shows. And of course, we'd like to thank all the others for participating in the competition and for putting your pin on our map. I think it's very nice to see where you're listening from.
Well, the EduBlog Award is not only a great honor for us, but also very good for the image of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. And this is what this episode is all about. Image, or to be more precise, image projection.
Now, we believe that actively designing your image is a very controversial, but also an important concept that especially students should pay a lot more attention to when they are planning a stay abroad. For example, between your departure from your home university, let us say in Luxembourg, and your arrival as the new intern in a company in Turkey, let's say, you should at least think about a change of roles, of perspectives. Try to see this as a unique opportunity to try out a different aspect of yourself. Because when you're going to a faraway country for a few months, you have an almost unique opportunity to try out different roles, lifestyles, or as we call it, images. Nobody knows you in the new place. Nobody will think it is odd if you suddenly realize a different aspect of yourself.
So, for example, if you are a very organized person, you can try to be a bit more relaxed and easygoing. If you tend to be a little unpunctual, you could try out what the world looks like if you always arrive 5 minutes early. And if you are naturally shy, for example, why don't you plan to make at least one contribution in each meeting you take part in? Of course, we don't say that you should become a different person, but rather think about the opportunities you have. So for this episode, we have interviewed a number of people who have thought about their image projection. And let's start with our first column, Absolutely German, where Vera Klobrogge will tell us more about her internship at the World Health Organization in Denmark.
Well, yes, before, as we just talked about Germans and whatever they people think Germans are, so when I started my internship, I said to myself, okay, I want to be less German, whatever that means. So I started with a good motivation, and, you know, I, like, invited colleagues to a coffee and not, like, typically German, counting the coins and you owe me 20 cents, you owe me whatever. So I invited colleagues for coffee, and I tried to be relaxed when people did not deliver an assignment on time. So I tried to be a bit more relaxed, and I showed my colleagues that Germans have humor, etc.
You say often, I try to. What does that mean?
That's the point. Like, I caught myself that I not in every point could constantly do this. Because, for example, when other interns and me did a trip in the surrounding, I always was prepared. Like, I printed out the timetables for the trains, the maps, the description of the sites, because I knew that the others won't be that prepared.
Okay.
And, of course, they were happy that someone took the initiative, but some even said to me that I'm a typical German, always structured and always on time. So this was a point where I not really Well, I tried to, but not really.
Not so successful.
Right. So the next time I tried to be late, 10 minutes to be late, to show them that I'm not always the organized Germans. But anyway, I wasn't the latest.
Okay, so on purpose you made a decision today, I will arrive 10 minutes
yes.
late, just to disprove
to
the theories.
Show them that, yeah.
Right, okay, so you went all the way.
Yes.
Okay, now you said that you tried a couple of things, and in some ways it worked, in others it wasn't so successful. So how do you evaluate that? Does it make sense to try to engineer your image projection a little bit?
I think it makes sense, just because when you go abroad, the people will first see you as a, not first, but some people will see you, okay, as a German, as a Frenchman, as whatever. And you can play a bit with this, so you can really try to change their views and also to reflect about your own culture, about your own behavior, especially in a surrounding where the people don't know you yet. So they don't know you that you always do this and this, so you can play with this and try to, in some aspects, behave a bit differently and just to try it out and see if you could adapt this in the future.
All right.
It's so a good opportunity to play a bit with this image projection.
So are you saying this is a unique opportunity because you can make a new start, which you wouldn't be able to do in your own surroundings, where everybody knows you?
I think so, because I went there on my own and I haven't known anybody there, so I start to get to know people and they start to get to know me. So I think it's a good opportunity to maybe to behaviors that you don't like with, in yourself, that you can try to change them before people know you and say, oh, you're always doing this and this, like this and this. So it's a good opportunity.
But it is not only when you go abroad that you should think about your image projection. Also, when you start a new job or move to another city, you could plan to try out something new. So for our second column, we have asked Marlene Izquierdo from Spain and Anita Molnar from Hungary if they have worked on their image projection when they first started their new jobs, that is, teaching at a university. And we call this column absolutely tiny, and you'll soon understand why.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what happened to me at the workplace, not abroad, at home in Spain. And I think that the idea of image projection is really important at the very beginning of anything, because it can have some important consequences. You know, this year, back in February, I started teaching at the university as a lecturer of business English. So the first day I went to my lecture, I was a bit nervous, of course. It was the first time that I've done this. And, you know, I'm pretty young and I'm tiny. People would think, oh, is she really the teacher? So I thought, okay, well, I just try to, you know, just to make things easy and to make it entertaining. So what happened was that I introduced the course, the objectives of the course and everything, and even though it was the first day, I thought that we could start working. So, yeah, I prepared some materials and I had some text to read. And we started reading the text in English, of course, and I was very lucky in this course because there were many Erasmus students. So it was very internationally mixed, which is great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, the Spaniards are not so advanced in reading English as some other students. So I faced a situation where this Spanish guy was reading, and he had quite a strong Spanish accent, mm-hmm. and he wasn't that fluent. So while he was reading, there was this girl, she was from France, and she was making weird gestures while she was listening to him. And I saw this, and I thought it was very rude. Mm-hmm. So after the Spanish student, I asked her to go on reading, and when she finished, I said to her, well, you know, he hasn't made any gestures. And the reason why I said this to her was that I thought that as a teacher, I should say something about this, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted mm-hmm. To project this image that I'm in control, and I think that, you know, you should respect others. But this was a mistake. I shouldn't have said this, I think.
And maybe this had consequences for the whole rest, because once you have an image, then...
Yeah, yes, because then this girl, she was upset, and then I had to deal with this situation. It was a difficult situation, and I explained to her that it was no... She was worried, she said to me, to come back to class. And I said, no, please, you don't have to be worried about it. But I just wanted you to realize that we have to be a little bit flexible and patient with one another. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, but she was really upset, and I got very upset as well. And knowing me, I was like, oh, my God, what a mistake. And people, students, they would then they would say, oh, Marlene, you've been quite hard on her. And they said, well, I really apologize. And after the class, just in private, we talked about it. But, you know, the fact that I wanted to let them realize that I'm the teacher, no matter my size, you know.
Actually, my story is quite similar to yours, because I'm such a... I'm also a tiny little person. And this summer, I got the opportunity to organize a summer university in Pécs, where I come from. It's in Hungary. And although I have been teaching for 4 years in that summer school, the same summer school, and I have been with the teachers and with the organizers for several years... It is a totally different perspective and experience to organize it and to teach there. And now I had to organize the whole summer school as well. And then, well, I'm a tiny person. And when I meet all these representatives of the university, the town, the region, it is really, I think, a hard situation to deal with that. Because... I have never been in such a position that I have to greet them, I have to tell them, well, this is this summer school that we have been organizing for several years, and these are these people from these countries, and Erasmus students and other students, so that was really a big deal, I think.
Mm. You've both mentioned your body size, which is quite surprising. Well, I'm incredibly tall compared to you. So, do you think you're compensating something in this situation that you think because you are very small? On the other hand, you have to be, I don't know, stricter or more prominent.
Yes, I think so. I mean, if you are tiny, little, it's usually your voice is not that. Big either, or I don't know how to put that actually.
I think that even if you shout, you feel like, well, it doesn't make a difference even if I shout, you know? It happens to me, honestly. Yes.
Oh, I hope my laughter is not louder than your voices on the podcast.
It might be, I don't know. I don't know. But yes, exactly what Marlene says is true, because you cannot really shout and people won't take you so seriously as you should think.
So do you have any strategies? I mean, before you now go into a classroom, are there things where you say, okay, I'm going to do this and that?
Well, no, I don't think so, because actually, even if we try to or we think of compensating with our voice or with our whole behavior, we actually should be aware of the fact that we are good teacher or we are not good teachers, you know. And if you think you are a good teacher, it doesn't really matters your size or anything.
Exactly. You know, in Spain, there is a saying which translated would be like, good perfume comes in small bottles. That's what some people say, you know.
Well, thank you very much for sharing this with us. For our third and last column, Absolutely Abroad, we have interviewed Wiebke Begere, who is doing an internship in the tourist office on Eckel Island, which is situated just off the west coast of Ireland. She'll tell us about the differences between Dublin and the remote and very calm Eckel Island. And she'll also give us an insight on what she has learned from her stay abroad already. So, let's listen in.
I'm a student in Germany, and I decided that I should get some working experience to improve my chances for a future career. So I decided to go to Ireland because people told me it must be a great country. And actually, I was searching for work experience in Dublin, but because there's a big difference between Germany and Ireland, in Germany we have these placement system which they don't have in Ireland, so I had lots of difficulties and ended up on Echo. But it's the most beautiful spot in the world, I'd say.
It is, isn't it? I've been there myself, and it is a very, very lovely place, even in the middle of the winter.
It's great, yeah. Our people are great as well, and the landscape is beautiful.
Now, you said that originally you wanted to go to Dublin. Have you had a chance to be in Dublin as well, on your way maybe?
Yeah, when I arrived in Ireland, I spent my first 2 weeks in Dublin.
Can you compare a little bit the lifestyle between Dublin and Achill Island for our listeners?
Well, I'd say it's from one extreme to the other, because Dublin is always busy. People are busy. People don't talk very much to foreign people. And Achill is completely different. Achill is a very remote place, and it's very quiet at this time of the year. And people are very friendly, and they are very interested in foreign people, and they always want to know everything about your personal background. And it's, yeah, one extreme to the other, but it's great.
Okay, so now you sound quite happy that you did actually go to a remote place rather than to the capital of Ireland.
I am. This place is the best place in the world to live in. Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Now, did you also notice any differences in the values, for example, or what people believe in Dublin and in Achill?
I think in Dublin, most people actually think about money and how they can make their living. And on Achill, everything is easygoing. People don't worry much, and people are just thinking about the present, and they don't worry about the future all the time. So
right.
I think that's the main difference.
Okay. Now, you already talked about money in Dublin. I've always experienced it as a very expensive place. How do you manage money-wise? Do you get enough money from your employer in Ireland, or how does that work?
Well, this work experience is not paid at all, but I was very lucky because there's an organization in Germany which gave me a scholarship. They're called Leonardo, and they're actually the people who helped me to find the work experience as well, the placement for the work experience.
Okay, so this is a scholarship, a European scholarship, and they helped you financially, and also they try to help you to find the placement. Did I get that right?
Yeah. They had a link on their webpage. And this placement was offered for any student in Europe. And I wrote them an email, and they helped me to figure it all out. So actually, I got this work experience on Echo just because of them. You could say that.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your work experience there. Where do you work?
I work in a tourist office. It's not very busy at this time of the year, but on the other hand, all the festivals and activities for the summer need a whole lot of preparation, so that's what I actually do. For example, we have a brochure which includes all the accommodation on this island, so we've just printed this brochure last week. It's for free for all the tourists to come to Achill, and the tourist office is involved in a whole lot of other things. For example, New Year's Eve is coming soon, and there's a charity swim on New Year's Eve, and there's a pipe band playing on New Year's Eve. So they just try to promote the island, and I help them and assist them. Yeah.
Did you say a swim? A charity swim?
A charity swim, yeah.
What are the temperatures like?
January, so everyone who wants to take part is very welcome.
You mean in the sea?
To have a nice swim in the water.
Really?
It's about 5 degrees now.
Okay. Now, for how long have you been in Ireland so far? I don't know.
I arrived 2.5 months ago.
Right. Now, I know that some students sometimes say that, in fact, their English is getting worse and worse during the trip, and they're creating more and more misunderstandings. But, of course, that is a curious view. In reality, of course, people improve every day. Can you remember things that you were not able to do at the beginning and now you feel more comfortable?
I think if it comes to express something personally, it's very hard because you're not used to use this language at university or at school. You normally don't express your feelings in another language, just if it comes to the point that you live in another country. So yeah, I think, I hope I have proved that.
Right. Any ideas how future students could prepare for that kind of situation? Because there are books on business English, but I haven't seen any on emotional English and how to express your feelings.
Well, I think the best thing is to read as many books as you can in the language. For example, for me, in the English language, because I'm in Ireland. And yeah, perhaps it's not a bad idea to visit the place where you plan to go before you actually sign a contract or things like that. I didn't do it, but first day on ACL, I was really surprised because it's even more quiet than I thought it would be. I mean, it all turned out great. I'm really happy to be here. It's a great opportunity for me, and I'm really happy on this island. But for the preparation, perhaps it would be a good idea.
Right. Okay. Now, has this internship or the work placement had any influence on your future plans so far?
Definitely, because my plans are that I'm going to go back to Germany to finish my study, and then I'm definitely going to move to Ireland.
Really?
Yeah. I will live here. I will work here. I love my life in Germany, but I don't want to go back there because to be in Ireland is just great.
Are you joking? You're seriously planning to move after
definitely.
Your studies?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so the work placement actually has a very big influence on your life.
Yeah, you can say so, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you chose such a nice place to go to, because if that's where you will end up, that's well chosen, I guess.
Well, I'd love to live on ACL. It's very hard to find work on ACL because it's such a remote place. But somewhere at the West Coast, I think I will find some work.
Okay. Wiebke, thank you very much for giving us an insight into your work placement.
Okay, thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
We hope you enjoyed the last show for 2006. We'd like to thank you once again for listening to us, for your support, for your comments and emails, and basically for everything you have done to make this podcast what it is. And please also visit our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. And let us know what you like and what we can make better in the future. Episode 22 will be coming to you on the 13th of January from Anfox in Denmark. We are very much looking forward to the next year and hope that you will
stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.